Amen. I appreciate God and thankful for what he's done in my life. And sure good to be here at Bethel again with y'all. And I'm thankful for what the Lord is doing here. And we try to keep up with the website and things online, see how it's going here. And I'm just really thrilled to see what God is doing, because that just shows us what more God wants to do if we'll keep working and keep pressing. And I believe he's got something special for his people. Amen. And I didn't grow up in a very wealthy home at all. Dad was a Marine, and there were four of us children, and he was gone quite a bit while I was growing up. Didn't have a lot of money growing up, but you know, when I needed something, I could pretty well tell my folks what I needed, and they'd make sure that somehow we got what we needed. Didn't always get what we wanted, but we pretty much got what we needed. And then my parents divorced, and things changed a lot, and got a lot difficult around the house. My mother got a disease called sarcoidosis, and just a long story to go with that. And Dad wasn't paying any child support or any alimony as they did there in the state we lived in at that time, so it got even tighter. And Mom couldn't work, and just as a young man, I began to work to provide for the family. And you know what? There were times that I needed some things. Amen. And I sought God, and he came through for it. Amen. I'm thankful that he has what we need tonight. Amen. If you'll just let him, he'll do something for you tonight. And I've got a burden for this service. I believe in a few moments around this altar that God is going to do something if you will allow him to do it. Amen. You have got to allow him to do it. Amen. And there are distractions that are common in the church. There are distractions that are common in a service. But I want us to set those aside and let God speak to our heart tonight. Amen. So that around the altar, he can accomplish what he wants to do in your life. Amen. And we want to say we appreciate and thank you for the offering tonight. Thank you also for your faithful support for our ministry. We appreciate that. As Brother Brim mentioned, we do travel to a lot of different countries, and I'll just try to be really brief tonight because I want to get into the preaching before you start looking at your watch and decide how long the missionary is going to go. Amen. But last year in 2011, we were able to represent your church in six different ministry locations across the world. Three of those were three different locations in Mexico. And if you have paid attention to the news, you know that it's dangerous right now to travel in Mexico. We do not any longer drive past the border region, and not a lot of that in and of itself because it's just so much dangerous. So we fly in and ride with the pastors wherever we're going, etc. But we were able to go to one place on the border, and then San Luis Potosí, where we used to live. And then also a little village called El Carrizo, which is located in the mountains near Guadalajara, Mexico. And had a great time in the Lord and a good breakthrough there. We were also able to go to Roatan Island, Honduras, which is an island off the northern coast of Honduras. We went there on two occasions and had a youth camp there. It was just a great time in the Lord. And, there were seven filled with the Holy Ghost and five saved for the very first time in their life. And we thank the Lord for that. We were also able to travel to the Dominican Republic. And while we were in the Dominican Republic, Brother Ethan Binkley from Kentucky was with us. And we had a great time in the Lord there in Honduras, as well as the Dominican. Went into the public school system, presented a puppet show and a children's ministry while there in the public school. And I asked him what I was allowed to say. They said, say whatever you want to say. I said, you know I'm a Pentecostal preacher. And they said, just whatever you want to say. And so we gave them the gospel in a nutshell. Amen. And taught on obedience. The teachers liked that, because how many of you parents like someone to teach your children about obedience? Kind of helps solidify what you've been teaching at home, right? So we teach on obedience, and then we tell them different people to which they must obey. And that always works out real good. And then at the end of it, right before we give the altar call, we tell them they can't do it. It's impossible. Unless first they obey Jesus Christ. And if they obey Jesus and follow him in salvation, then they can be obedient in all areas of their life And you know that applies to us as well. Amen. So we thank the Lord for what he did in 2011. 2012, we started out making plans to build upon our successes of the year before, but it started way different. We'd had a wreck in the Dominican Republic where we were turning left and a bus decided he would pass us on the left. He laid 30 feet of skid mark before he slammed into the side of the little, like a Ford Bronco type vehicle. It was a Mitsubishi, and hit us there. And Sister LaDonna's face hit the window, and we didn't know it, but at the time it caused a lot of nerve damage to the side of her face. And in January of this year and December of last year, she began to complain about a lot of pain in her jaw and just really bothering her a lot. We took her to a dentist in January and found out that she'd had that nerve damage done. The first second Monday of January, we had preached for Brother Mike Brewer in Falk, Arkansas. And on Monday night, all the young people got together, played volleyball, and I broke my leg and ankle playing volleyball with them. I broke the bone called the fibula, and I broke a bone called the talus, which is inside of your ankle. And then I did research online about talus fractures. Don't go there. I scared myself to death. And I found out that everybody that had that had to have surgery, and it was life-lasting, just horrible problems, and it was just terrible. I was in a boot for 3 months, but I called Brother Shoecraft and told him about it. It's a very painful fracture, that talus is, because it's so connected to so many other bones. And he said, "Brother, I'm going to pray for you." And that night, I got up the very next morning, and the pain was almost completely gone. By the end of that day, it was totally gone. And I believe that it was during the night that through the prayers of Brother Shoecraft and others, that God completely healed that talus fracture. Now, what was odd was he didn't heal the fibula fracture. I went to a surgeon. I was supposed to meet a surgeon for that surgery on that talus bone, and he's smashing on the part of my ankle that has the talus fracture, and I just didn't move, just looked at him. And then he's smashing over there where that fibula fracture was up on my shin, and I almost came off the table. And he just kept looking at me, shaking his head, and finally said, "I don't know. I don't understand it." He said, "I look at the x-ray you had done when you broke it. I look at the x-ray you had done today, and we see no fracture today." And I said, "Well, doc, this is what we've been praying for." He said, "Well, maybe it was a shadow. Maybe it was the way they took the picture. I don't know." Brother Shoecraft said it was a shadow. It was a shadow of the Almighty. Amen. And so that happened in January. Sister LaDonna, when that nerve damage came to her, she had to have oral surgery and have teeth cut out because of that. And then Tabitha, our oldest daughter, who's at OBI this year, her asthma began to get worse, and she had her worst attacks with asthma she'd ever had. And then Lydia, our youngest daughter that's here with us, she's 17, and she began to complain of pain every time she'd eat. And turns out that on March the 1st, she had gallbladder surgery. So our family really went through it at the first of the year. And you ever ask God why? Hey, listen, it's natural to ask God why. And I did. I asked him why. I said, "Lord," and I cried about it. I don't know about you. I cried about it. I said, "Lord, I don't understand. There was so much we wanted to do, and there were other issues that came up with our ministry and places we wanted to go that we were unable to go to, and burdens we had." And I said, "Lord, why?" But you know, God's got a plan. He has an understanding. I don't know what all it is, but I do know that if we're faithful, he will continue to use us in his work. And God opened up many other doors that we were not really expecting, one of which is children's ministry. And we were invited to do the kids services at PFYC and then the children's services at Bristow Camp Meeting. And turns out by the end of this year, we will have done 13 or 14 kids crusades. So God opened a door in an area that everybody doesn't have that desire or ability to do. And we thank the Lord for that. But we also have just recently returned from the country of Guatemala, and we were there on invitation of Brother Jason Pennington, which is Brother Mike Pennington's son, and had a great time of ministry while we were there. I was able to preach to a men's group. We preached to churches, did youth service, and spoke on addictions. I've never been addicted to anything that I know of, but I spoke on addictions to a secular private school. And that was just a great time there. We also preached on the radio. And while I was preaching on the radio, My cell phone rang. It was Sister Gina Stevens, is our pastor's wife. And I hit ignore, because you really can't answer a phone call when you're recording to the radio. And then as soon as I hit ignore, it started ringing again. Gina Stevens, I hit ignore. And then a little bit later, it rang again. It was Tabitha, our daughter. And I hit ignore. And then a text came through, said, call the pastor, bad news. And I thought, oh, great. And I'm trying to preach in Spanish and think in Spanish, reading English texts and bad news coming. And I got off the radio and found out that our Suburban that was parked in Fort Worth had been stolen out of our pastor's driveway. We said, great. And when we get off the plane, how are we going to get home? And so many other things that we had planned. Well, the thieves had our vehicle for about 5 days, and the police caught them driving it. And they had wrecked it in the back. It's not really bad damage, but enough, you know, and stole everything out of it. All our Brim CDs are gone. And the only one they didn't steal was the Crafton Trio CD, their newest one. And Brother Crafton said, I guess it was so bad they didn't want it. It's really the best one that they've done. And it was in the player. And so, all of the things stolen out of it, we got it back. Thank the Lord for that. But just seemed like one thing after another. But I am thankful that God does keep his hand upon us. And we ask you to continue to pray. When we landed, we were home about 2 days. We drove to a place called Perryton, Texas, which is in the high panhandle of Texas. In fact, it's only 40 miles from Kansas, and you go through Oklahoma to get there to Kansas. And there's a church there. Brother Jeff Owen is a pastor. It's a pioneer work. That community is about 65 to 80% Hispanic, and they were doing an outreach through Maranatha Missions. They invited our family to go as translators, and we were able to help translate for the group as they went door to door. We were able to do a 3-day kids crusade for them with some Spanish thrown in there as well. On Friday night of the revival, there was a lady in church that spoke no English. So Joseph Snow. There's so many snowflakes, I can't keep up with them all. But Brother Joseph Snow preached, and I translated for him. And we left there, went to a place called Montague, Texas. Did a kids crusade there. This is a church that has holiness on the sign, but they haven't heard of the preaching of holiness in a half a century or so, or it seems like. And the people that were there, the pastor started going to that church. He's a young man out of Fairland, been preaching. He's got 20 some odd brand new converts. And the very first night, there was a young lady in the crowd. She came with her little girl to the kids crusade. She had gauges in her ears, which are the large earrings that stretch the earlobes. And she had nose ring in. And when I gave the altar call for salvation for the children, she came down to the altar along with two other ladies and cried and prayed, gave their heart to the Lord. And Brother Boyce was teaching this morning in Sunday school and mentioned some things about the ministry of John the Baptist, but the message and the change that takes place in people's lives. And I thought of Tammy and how the difference in her life from Wednesday to Sunday, what a great change God had done in her life. And so we really ask you to pray that God would continue to help our ministry. Amen. We have got new prayer cards. Amen. We got new prayer cards because our prayer cards were in our Suburban, and they were stolen, and so we lost all our prayer cards. And about that time, our bookkeeper asked if she could make a change to the address. So whomever is the bookkeeper here for the missions department, you'll definitely want to get one of those because that address has changed. And those of you that send periodically throughout the year, you'll want to take your old prayer card and throw that away, or at least mark through the address and note that this is a new address for us. Picture's all the same. Lydia said, hey, Tab's not with us anymore, Dad. Just be the three of us on the front. We'll cut Tab out. We'll paste a picture in on the back of her. But we decided we'd keep her since she's still part of the family. Amen. But I want you to be sure and put those prayer cards somewhere that you'll remember to pray for us. May God keep his hand upon us as we travel. We travel quite a bit. I want to see God protect us. But most of all, church, and we don't say this flippantly or lightly, but most of all, we ask for the anointing of the Holy Ghost, because it is the anointing that'll break the yoke. Amen. And right before convocation, we went to Mexico, and we preached a fellowship meeting for Brother Mike Flowers, who is Macedonia Call Missions, and he has assumed the responsibility for full gospel mission, which is the ministry Sister Gail Meyer started many, many years ago. And we did a fellowship meeting for him and a kids' service on Saturday, and they said that there were 77 children at that kids' service, and it was quite crowded. While we were in Guatemala, we did one in a room that was about 12 by 14 at the max. At the max, 12 by 14, there were 50-some-odd children packed into that room along with our little puppet, portable puppet stage. So we enjoy that. Praise the Lord. So be sure, if you would, pray for us that God have his way. Amen. Praise God. Turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 1. Hallelujah. I appreciate Brother and Sister Brim. Great people and good friends of ours. And I always appreciate being around them. I always wanted to bring our daughters around them so that they could meet great folks. And you've got a great jewel and blessing in your pastor's family. And I'm very thankful for them and what they do. He's on our board, and we appreciate him and the help he gives us. There's times I have to call him and ask advice, and he's always ready to help me with that. Amen. You know, traveling as a missionary, how many of you ever traveled the U.S.? Like today at lunch, it was obvious our waitress was not from the South. And her accent really took me by surprise, because we're heading up north. And so her accent, which she thinks is probably I have an accent. You know, nobody ever thinks they have an accent until they go around folks that tell them they do. But it's the same way in Spanish. Spanish has different accents. They have different words for different things. A little shop in Mexico, a mom-and-pop-owned store in Mexico, is called a tienda. But in Honduras, it's called a pulpería. Totally different word. In the Dominican Republic, it's called a colmado. Completely different word. And you ought to hear all the words for a straw, like you drink your Coke out of, or your Coke that's a Pepsi or a Dr. Pepper or whatever your Coke may be, as Southerners might say. But a lot of different words, a lot of different accents, and the Chinese people, the Chinese people in Panama, and actually I've met Chinese people in every Spanish country, even Africa, a lot of Spanish or Chinese people. But they do speak Spanish in Panama, and I'll just give you an idea. They say, hola, ¿cómo está usted? Yo estoy muy bien esta mañana. Yo quiero predicarle la palabra de Dios. And that's how they speak Spanish. And it's really funny. And you try not to laugh because you don't want them laughing at your Spanish. Because, you know, I know it sounds gringo. And so you try not to laugh, but you just can't help it. And they call each other Chino, a Chinese guy, you know. So they all call each other Chino. And it's just hilarious. But I want to get a little Chinese puppet. But I've never seen a puppet with slanted eyes. I got to figure that out. Get a Chinese puppet, but he'll only speak Spanish. Have to be translated. But anyway, then on Roatan Island, they're a mixed race people on that island. Many of them belong to Honduras, that's their patria. What do you, or their nationality is Honduras, because that Honduras owns that island or whatever you call that, and so therefore they speak Spanish, but they're descendants of slaves that were brought over to the Isles, and so they have black descent, Hispanic descent. It's all just mixed, and nobody really cares or anything like that. But because they have the English history, many of them speak English, but their English is different as well. I'm trying to think how. When I broke my leg, there's a girl in Honduras that she calls me Dad. I'm her Dad, and Sister LaDonna is her Ma, and her Mom. And so she called and she said, "Hey, Dad, why you fall? You break your leg? I don't understand. It's a bad thing to break your leg." So she spoke English, but then you got to get used to that Caribbean accent. So Traveling the world has caused us to meet a lot of different people. And then we came to Illinois. And we met y'all. And we go to the foreign countries and we say, back. No, we don't. No, we don't. I'm just kidding. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah, let's get to the Word of God. There is a perfect glare on that clock. I see no one has moved it since the last time I was here. I don't know what time y'all are used to getting out, but you do have to recall that you do start a little bit later than most churches do on Sunday night, so we'll blame that for it or something. Something. Anyway, Isaiah chapter number 1. I just want to read one verse. Hallelujah. Bible says in verse number 18, Isaiah chapter number 1, it says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Amen. I thank the Lord for that, don't you? In the book of Numbers, chapter number 11, verse number 5 says, "We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, and the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic." And nobody go to thinking about food right now, because we're going to have a short message and then a long altar call, we pray. He said, "But now our soul is dried away, and there is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. The manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bdellium. The people went about and gathered and ground it in mills and beat it in the mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes. The taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil." Moses heard, verse number 10, the people weep. Amen. They were remembering. They were remembering what it was like in Egypt, what they had in Egypt. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and goodness. And Lord, I know that you has spoke to my heart for this service tonight. Lord, I know that there is someone, maybe several someones that are here that need victory in their life. They need healing in their life. They need the chains that have bound them to be broken. They need the prayers that they have prayed to be answered tonight. Lord, in just a few moments around this altar, I ask you to touch and to give freedom, to give us victory tonight. Lord, we ask it in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We sang tonight, "The Son hath made me free." Amen. Free. Freedom has a great ring to it. And I remember the first time we moved into Mexico, and we had been living there quite a while and decided that it was time to come back to the States to raise some more of our funds and et cetera and take care of business. And we lived 8 hours into Mexico, and it's a long drive, very monotonous drive. And I can remember driving all that distance up to the border, and as we got closer and closer to the bridge and the crossing, I began to anticipate what it was going to be like to cross back into America and what it might feel like. And just as we got close enough that the buildings began to subside, we could see the river that marks the border between Mexico and the United States, I noticed something that was flying in the breeze, and it was our flag, the flag of the United States, and it's a very large flag at the border crossing, and you can see it for several blocks. And I thought to myself, there's not a prettier flag in all the world, and what a great flag that we have, and the things that it stands for, and those that have fought for the freedom that you and I can enjoy. And I thought about that freedom that we have, and I was anxious to cross back over to the American side to feel an American again, and what it felt like to be in America. When I flew over to Africa, I was so excited. When I got off the airplane in Africa, I stepped aside. We walked across the tarmac there. You know, they didn't have those tunnels. You just go straight in the airport. You step out as soon as the door opens on the airplane, the heat hits you. And we walked down the stairs, and I was walking across, and I just stepped out of line, raised my hands into the sky, and I said, "I'm here, Lord. I'm here. And I was excited to be in Africa. I was excited to be in the country of Equatorial Guinea. And I was so thrilled that God had completed a burden and a vision in my heart. But you know, there was just something about coming home. Amen. And I enjoy when we fly back into America and we go into the line and we stand there waiting to see that customs agent. He begins to review our paperwork, looks at our passports, and used to it was an all the time thing, and now it's not as common, but sometimes they'll stamp your paper and they'll say, "Welcome home." Amen. Oh, it feels good to have someone say, "Welcome home." Amen. And I want to preach a little while tonight on you can't get there from here. And I'm really preaching to a specific audience this morning, this evening. Brother David kept saying this evening, this morning. I'll say this morning all evening. But I want to preach to a specific group of people here tonight. I'm not necessarily going to reach for the lost. If you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, my passion in my life, my burden, what drives me is reaching those who don't know Christ. But I've come for those that have memories of their previous life that are causing them damage in their present life. I want to talk to those that are here tonight, and the things that through which you are going, they are causing you damage in your spiritual walk with the Lord today. And I want to tell you that the enemy of your soul wants nothing more to do than to remind you of those things from the past. And you know what? He doesn't bring up the heartache that you felt when you were out in the world. He doesn't bring up the pain that you felt when you were out in the world. Instead, he brings up the good things and the foods that you used to eat and the things with which you used to enjoy. And he brings up those things that remind you of how great sin is and how enjoyable sin is. That's exactly what the children of Israel were doing when they began to remember the melons and the cucumbers, and they were despising the manna, which was God's own heavenly food. And you've got an opportunity tonight to partake of God's own heavenly food at this altar if you'll avail yourself to it. But unfortunately, you have been chained to your past. You are tied to the things that you used to do and the memories of the sin that is haunting you, and it's causing you no end of heartache in your present walk with God. I want to tell you, the devil will try to take you back there, and you need to tell him, "I cannot get there from here." Amen. There's been times I've entered an address on a program on my computer trying to find a particular church or a particular address, and that come up with a notice that says that you are unable to reach this destination from this address. I've been in a car and punched in a church and it said you are unable to reach this destination from this point. And church, I want to tell you, you have got to remind the devil that you cannot take me there from here. Amen. I'm no longer going back there because God has forgiven me. Amen. We sang several songs tonight that I felt like were confirmation in my spirit that the Lord wanted you to have deliverance tonight. Amen. You've carried it long enough. You've battled with it long enough. And it's time you lay it down. When I spoke with Brother David on Friday as we were making our way up here, he told me that we would be preaching tonight. And the Lord spoke to my heart instantly that you cannot get there from here. The devil's going to try to take these young people back to what it was like before they were saved. Their friends are going to try to draw them back. Some of you are adults are dealing with things in your life from previous experiences before you were saved, and it haunts you and it brings memories to you, and you feel like you cannot get the victory. You need to tell the enemy, "I will not go there from here," because it's impossible to get there from here. Yes, we live in a world that sin is wicked. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, "There is none righteous, No, not one. Yes, that is true. None of us are righteous. Our righteousness, the scripture says, is nothing more than filthy rags. We cannot bring anything to the table, so to speak, when we're speaking about righteousness. We can't bring anything to the bargaining table when the Lord says, come to, let us reason together. There's nothing that I can bring from my past and say, but God, look at this. Look at these things. This is what... No, the Bible says there is none righteous. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. I remember a boy named Carlos, a gang leader, a group called the Sanguinarios, which means the blood thirsty ones. And Carlos told me one day, he said, I want to go to church with you. And we took him to church. Brother Craig Benner at that time was meeting underneath a tent. And Carlos went with us into that tent, and we got him down to the altar as God drew him. And I began to speak to Carlos about the Lord. And he said, what do I need to do? I said, you need to ask the Lord to forgive you. He said, forgive me of what? I said, you need to ask him to forgive you of your sins. He said, I hadn't done anything really wrong. I thought about the gang fight they had a few nights earlier, and the chain that he was swinging, and the bats they swing, and the bricks they were throwing. And I told him, I said, well, I tried that age-old statement, you were born into sin. You see, in the Spanish language, if you knock a glass off a table, you don't say, I broke the glass. You tell the host, the glass broke itself on the floor. And they have an attitude and a thought pattern of, it's never my fault. When I told Carlos he'd been born into sin, he said, then I don't need to pray because it's not my fault. Amen. He didn't understand that all have sinned, amen, and come short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. The Bible tells us in chapter 5, verse number 12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin. And so death upon all men, for that all have sinned. The Bible tells us in 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Amen. It tells us that sin is wicked in this world. And that's the problem. So many of you know that sin is wicked, and you recall that sin is wicked, and you realize that. But you're chained to the memory of those things that you did. You know that you went to an altar. You know that you experienced something from the Lord. But you're still carrying about those chains. You may feel like you got some freedom there, but you're still dragging behind you the chain of that sin. James chapter number 1, verses 14 and 15 says, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And we know that if I continue in my path of sin, then I'm going to receive death as the wages. That's the wages for which I have worked. And church, we understand that. But the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, the righteous, he came to be the propitiation for our sin, to stand between man and God so that man could find an avenue back into fellowship with the Lord. You see, there was a reach of mercy that reached down into the wickedness of sin. There was a hand of mercy that stretched forth into the darkness of this life, and it rescued us from the pit of hell. Psalm 103:17 says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. You need to find out tonight that God has mercy for your soul. You don't have to continue. You don't have to continue to live the life that you're living, but you can get freedom tonight from the things that have had you bound. You can find victory tonight. Psalm 136:1-26 end with, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen. I remember when I was in high school, my senior year of high school, we had a little boy, a young boy, I guess I should say, in our high school. I think he was ninth grader. I was a senior. His name was Twister. His twin brother's name was Thumper. That ought to give you an idea of the personality of these two young boys. Amen. And Twister came in one day, and I was working feverishly, as most seniors do, trying to finish up and get everything done so I could graduate. And I wanted to make sure that I got finished and I didn't go out for PE that day. He began to ridicule me for not being able to go out, and he threw a volleyball at me, and I caught it. I jumped out in the hallway, and I reared back, and I was just about to throw that ball. In fact, it was just leaving my hand when I looked past Twister, and I saw the principal through a plate glass window on the other side of Twister. Of course, I aimed real good, caught him right upside the head, and he fell into the window, but that was not where my attention was. My attention was on the redness that was creeping up Brother Austin Missy's neck as it continued to go up his neck, as that redness grew because the anger got stronger and stronger. He burst out of that office, and I felt the wrath. Amen. I was wanting some mercy for my senior year, but he was bringing wrath upon us. And church, we got to realize that the Lord, instead of showing his wrath to us when it may be deserving, when it may have been earned, the Bible says he showed to us his mercy. The reason you've been forgiven, the reason it's been forgotten, is because he wants to show you his mercy. You got to understand that mercy is not merited. You can't do anything. You can't buy it. You can't purchase it. You can't work for it. You can't do anything to receive God's mercy. But he offers it freely tonight. You don't have to go home and lay your head on your pillow and wet it with tears because you're worried over what you did back then. You can know tonight at this altar that God has forgiven me. He has forgiven me. Hallelujah. Romans 5 and 8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. Amen. Christ died for us. Amen. He looked upon that rich young ruler. And sometimes I've seen youth leaders do the same thing as they look upon their young people, knowing they're about to walk out the door on me. And I can see the compassion that goes out from them, the love that they feel, the burden their heart feels for their young people, your children. Amen. That they pray for your children that they're trying to reach. And I've seen that love go out just like the love of Christ as he looked at that rich young ruler. And he said to him, one thing thou lackest. Amen. Knowing the whole time he's going to turn and walk away. Amen. But the Bible tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, because the latter part of chapter 6 and verse 20, the latter part of verse 23 says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. I'm talking about a reach of mercy that came down into your life. Amen. Titus chapter number 3 and verse number 5 tells us that Paul, writing to Titus, he says to him, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. Amen. According to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and by renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's a reach into the depths and the wickedness of sin, because there is a depth that comes with forgiveness. There's a depth that comes with it. How many of you, when you were growing up, had a sibling? Anybody have siblings? I had three sisters. Brother Scott Ennis and I, one day we were going to be blood brothers. He had a sister. I had three sisters. We went in his kitchen, opened up the drawer, got a knife out. He said, go ahead. I said, no, you go ahead. He said, no, you go first. I said, no, I'd prefer you to go first. I prefer my brother. And I said, we're going to be blood brothers, right? He said, yeah. I said, you go first. He said, I think if I do it, you won't do it. I said, I promise I'll do it. He said, then you go first. I said, I'm afraid you won't do that. And he said, listen, how about we just put the knives up, just be brothers, forget the blood stuff. Amen. So we're just brothers. Amen. But I remember Dad was a Marine. We traveled a lot, moved 7 years, one school year, seven times. And I remember traveling quite a bit with my sisters, and, you know, she's looking at me. She touched me. She's in my space. She's in my bubble. Amen. Our daughters got into that thing a while back, a bubble, their bubble. Amen. I said, Daddy finna bust your bubble. Amen. We ain't having bubbles. It'll make the car soapy. I ain't gonna have it. Amen. Bubble, see my bubble. Hallelujah. But I needed some understanding of the depths of forgiveness. Because when I was a kid, we get in a big old fight, fuss, and mom would say, tell your sister you're sorry, sorry. I mean, before mom got through, I'm sorry. No, that. Now you tell her you're sorry. Sorry. You ever done that? All right, come on now. I mean, I'm surely the Trawick family wasn't the only one. Amen, had this struggle. Sorry. No. Mom was serious about it. And it got to a point where she'd push it enough. You were really willing, because when dad turned and looked, that you were sorry. Amen. And you wanted to, you know, the Lord doesn't do that with us. When he forgave us, he forgave us. I mean, I want you to understand, this really, and I know it's been very short, very simple, very easy. But I really feel like God wants someone to understand this point right here. There is a depth to forgiveness we don't always understand. There's a depth to it. Even in our marriages, and you got a good group of young married couples, and in our marriages, there's times we show our forgiveness. We may not ever say those words, and we're really at fault for that. At fault for that. But we show our forgiveness in other ways and kindness, and we start speaking again as we drive down the road and let the ice melt and all. And you know, but we've got to understand that forgiveness has depth. And the Lord forgave us to the very depth of our sin. We understand that our sin was profound. And that's really what's got us bound in our heart. And I really believe when Brother Brim asked me to preach tonight, I felt like the Lord spoke to my heart. There's going to be somebody that is dealing with their past in such a way, things that they remember in their past, that they understand the depth of their sin. They realize how far that they went into sin. They understand where it took them. They realize the depths and how far out and how distant from God they got. There's a young lady that we know, and her story is amazing. And she was raised in a home with a dad that was not saved. Her mother got saved. Her mother was raised in church. Her mother got saved. She got saved. And she married a good young man. And they began to work for the church and in the church and in a capacity of for the church itself and all. And then one night, the young man came home from work, and he found a note on his table that said, I'm gone. I'm leaving. I don't ever want to come back. Don't come looking for me. I'm gone. And she went into the depths of sin, and she understands the depths of sin because she knows how far away from church she went. She said when there was one point in her life that she received some money for something that somebody wanted her to go and do, and when she said, when I took that money, I realized how far I'd gotten out. You understand the depths of your sin. You know it because it's haunting you. It's bothered you for so long. But God came tonight to give you victory from that. Yes, there is depths to sin. But we've all heard the saying of the long arm of the law. Just think of the long arm of mercy as Jesus stretched his hands wide. As our children sing, he stretched them wide and then he died. Amen. But 3 days later, he arose. Amen. Because he knew that there had to become a depth to his forgiveness that goes beyond the depth of your sin. That yes, there is a depth of wickedness. There is a stretch, amen, of mercy. But that stretch of mercy goes way beyond. That depth of forgiveness goes way beyond what you're carrying, and you do not have to carry it anymore. Sometimes it's things that we didn't have any part in. We didn't really want it to happen. We wished it would quit. We wished it never happened. We didn't understand why the family had to do the things they did. Now I can remember nights thinking, why does my mother have to lay in there and cry and wish that her husband would come home? Why do I have to go to work in the morning before school and go to work in the afternoon after school? And I carried in my heart a bitterness that took me into the depth of sin. But there came a day that God in his all divine, all powerful mercy reached beyond the depth of my sin with a forgiveness. He said, I want to heal you. I want to heal you. He'll do that for you tonight. Hallelujah. You see, the enemy is going to try to take you back. And Nathan said tonight, he said, I was there when it happened. I guess I ought to know. He said, I think the devil will try to bring it up. And he will. So when the devil does try to bring that up to you, you need to tell him that he's wrong and that you are not dwelling in the depth of that sin. Amen. I want us to turn to the book of Micah, chapter number 7, and verse number 18. It says, who is a God like unto thee? Chapter number 7, verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not in his anger because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Amen. That's what God wants to do for you tonight. And in just a few moments when I give an altar call, the enemy is going to perch himself upon your shoulder and he's going to say, you tried it before and it will never leave. You've tried it before and I will never allow you to forget. But I want to tell you, if you'll come down to an altar and you'll let God have it, he will show you the depths of his forgiveness that can go beyond anything you've ever experienced, anything that you've ever done, any experience through which you've ever had to pass. Hallelujah. He wants to show you his mercy. Amen. He wants to show you his hope. He said, thou wilt cast all their sins. Amen. Into the depth of the sea. Hallelujah. We have yet, with all our technology, all our inventions, we have yet to discover the depth of the sea. You realize that? We do not know the depth of the sea. But the Bible says he'll take your sins and he will cast them into the depth of the sea. Psalm chapter number 103 and verses 11 and especially verse number 12. Hallelujah. Psalm 103 says, for the heaven is high above the earth, and so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. Amen. You have been forgiven. You have been delivered. I want to tell you, I really felt tonight that there is somebody that needs to understand that God has given me the victory. Amen. God has given me the victory. He's taken my sin, and he said, we cannot even fathom that. We don't even understand it, because we are linked. We are tied to time and space as human beings. We are tied right here to this spot in which we are. But if you've ever been on an airplane and flying maybe toward the west, and you watch as the sun sets and you see that sun go over that horizon, you can get a little bit of a picture of what it means for the Lord to separate your sins from the east to the west. And I want to tell you tonight, at this altar, he desires to do that for you. Amen, Sister Bram, if you'd come. Hallelujah. He will separate them, because his forgiveness is forever. Amen, forever. Hebrews chapter number 10, praise God, verse 16. Hallelujah. Verse 17 says, this is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. No more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there's folks that they knew me when I was just a boy, and they see how the Lord has allowed me to be used. Sometimes they really can't even believe it. Went back to convocation when I was still pastoring. I only pastored two churches. You got a 50-50 chance of getting it right. I was pastoring one church, and someone said, who's your pastor now? And they said, David Trawick. They said, David Trawick, you got to be kidding me. Because they couldn't believe it. You know, there's times we can't believe it either. But he said, I will remember them no more. Hey, It's time you forget it. It's time you forget it. Corrie ten Boom faced years and years of persecution in concentration camp World War II. Starvation, deprivation, just a horrible, horrible existence. Really just an existence hoping to make it to tomorrow and dreading the sunrise at the same time. Years later, she began to give talks after she was freed from those concentration camps. She began to give talks across the world in churches about forgiveness. In that service one night, she saw one of the men who'd been a guard at the camp in which she was interred. And that spirit rose up. And she decided, I'm going to forgive him. I'm going to forgive him. Years after Dad left, carrying that bitterness around, Brother Boyce, always with me, hidden in that room back in my heart sometimes. Sometimes I get it out and let it feel sorry for me. Years later, God dealt with my heart. With robbing an altar at a youth camp. As a youth leader, I prayed it through. I called my dad on a Sunday. I was down in Mexico. I called him over the computer. Talked to him on the telephone. Saturday. Dad was driving. I said, Dad, listen, I got to go. I love you. I'll talk to you tomorrow. I'll call you when you're not driving. I love you. Last words I said to him was, I love you. Because God had showed me that the depths of my forgiveness has to go past the depth of my sin. Somebody asked Corrie ten Boom one time, said, do you remember? You remember what he did? She said, no, I have chosen to forget it. That's what you got to do. You got to choose to forgive. And you've got to choose to forget because God has forgotten it. It's gone. Could we all stand tonight? Every head bowed and every eye closed, just Pastor and I are looking around. I told you I wasn't preaching to the lost. If you're a sinner here tonight, Jesus came to forgive you. I want you to get saved. So when I give this altar call, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I want you to come. You find somebody and tell them, I want to be saved. I want you to pray with me that I'll get saved. You grab somebody and you bring them with you. But I really want to talk to you tonight. The whole night you kept thinking, will he mention what I had to go through? Will he say what I've had to deal with? Because if he says it, then I'll know. Listen, God already knows. He's already mentioned it to your heart. He already spoke to your heart and said, I forgave. Now let's forget. I really believe there's somebody here tonight. You need freedom. Listen, I believe you're saved. But I believe you're dragging around things that you can let go. And you'll understand what blossoming in the power and presence of God is really about if you'll let go of those things you've dragged around. Is there one here tonight? You lift your hand and say, Pastor, Brother David, would you pray for me that God would help me to let it go? Amen. God sees that hand. Someone else in that hand. Oh, young people. Someone else. You lift your hand. Missionary, I'm going to let it go. God sees that hand. Somebody else. Oh, I really felt the Holy Ghost. God spoke to your heart. You need to let it go. Lift your hand right now. Pastor, Brother Missionary, I'm going to let it go. I need God's help, but I'm going to let it go. Come on, there's another hand. How about another? How about another one? I want to take my time here because God spoke to my heart that you need to let it go. You've carried it too long. It's not your fault. He has forgiven you. How about it? You'll lift your hand and say, I need help from the Lord tonight to let it go. God sees that hand. Someone else. God sees that hand. Someone else. Yes. I'm going to call you. Yes, God sees that one. I'm gonna ask you to come to the altar. I want you to know that. I'm going to ask you to come to the altar because you'll solidify the work of God in your heart right here at the altar where we lay our sacrifice down before God. Someone else, you'll lift your hand. I feel like God's dealing with you right now. Someone else, you've carried it too long. You don't even understand all of the ramifications of what it did and what it was and why and how. But you'll lift your hand right now. Come on. Some are already making their way to the altar. Amen. God sees that hand. Someone else. Someone else. Oh, God. You lifted your hand. I want you to begin to make your way to the front right now. God will bring you victory tonight, right here. God will give you victory tonight. Those chains will be broken tonight. How about it? Someone else. Come on. If you need to be saved, you come grab somebody and tell them, I need salvation. I want to come to the altar and give Jesus my life. I want to start all over. How about it? Hallelujah. Church, can we find a place here? Ask God to help us. Come on, church. Oh, come on.
Presented, they covered my